If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56diva.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Chicago trial attorney Karen Conti. Karen, good morning. Let's talk about Ghislaine Maxwell first and her appeal to the Supreme Court. What is the argument exactly in this appeal?
Well, it's kind of complicated, but Jeffrey Epstein was accused of crimes in 2007, 2008, and he cut a really good deal. And the deal was that he would plead guilty to state charges in Florida in exchange for an immunity from all federal charges, including his co-conspirators. So her argument is that because she was considered one of his co-conspirators, that global immunity that he got back in 2008 applies to her in New York. And the courts in New York said, no, that was just a Florida federal court ruling. And so the question of the Supreme Court is, when a federal government makes a deal with a defendant, is it covered nationally? And it's kind of a narrow issue, but it could exonerate her completely, and it could make her entire conviction go away.
And as you know, there's a lot of talk about a presidential pardon. If that happens, or if her sentence is commuted by this administration, can that be tied to her saying certain things?
It can. The power to pardon or commute is just very, very broad. And presidents and governors who issue it in a state setting can put all kinds of parameters on what the defendant can and can't do to get this relief. And, you know, my guess is that it's first going to start by saying, we need you to tell the truth. We need you to give all the information that has thus far been hidden. But again, she is going to be bound by telling the truth. And remember, in her case where she was prosecuted, she was twice convicted of perjury. So she's not a person who is going to probably or should probably get a lot of credibility for her statements. But certainly, yes, the president can say, if you tell the truth and if you say certain things, I will give you a break.
Let's talk about Illinois and two new gun bills passed here. Tell us about these laws.
They modify the existing law slightly and are supposed to be responsible for safer guns in Illinois. One of them is a Safe Storage Act, and that basically tightens up the laws and says that people who have guns need to keep them into a locked container if they have people in their house like minors or people who are at risk of harming themselves or others. And basically it sets fines of $500, and then it can go all the way up to $10,000 if someone actually commits a crime with the gun that's not kept safe. The other law is more of a it's more of a law enforcement act, but it has to do with the ATF's eTrace platform, which is a platform nationally that goes, and when a gun is used in a crime, they trace the gun as to where it originated and who bought it and who has the history with it. And in so doing, that kind of lets us know, where are these guns coming from? Who was using them? Did someone sell them illegally? And how did they get to a crime scene? So now this new law will require our local law enforcement to use that platform.
Sounds like these laws should have been on the books a long time ago. Do other states have these laws in effect already?
They do. And, you know, again, the gun lobby is very, very strong. And any gun restrictions of any type are going to be met with a lot of lobbying. And even this Gun Storage Act, which seems to me to be very reasonable, which is, if you have kids or people who can harm themselves in your house, lock up the gun.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of people saying, well, no, that's going to keep me unsafe, because if I have to unlock my gun, it's not going to be able to be used to defend myself, and on and on. And it's a slippery slope. So I think we're going to see these arguments about gun laws from here on out.
Yeah, no doubt. In Minnesota, they passed a law requiring social media companies to post warnings. How is this supposed to work?
That's interesting. It's the first state that's done this. And so basically, and I don't know the logistics of how it is going to work, but anytime you go to your phone and you're going to go on social media, there will be a flash that says, do you know that social media can, in too much social media can be harmful to your health? Something to that effect that hasn't been written yet. And the idea is that they're thinking that maybe it'll just cause people to think twice about spending hours and hours on social media, which there are studies that show that that's not good for you, especially for young people. But again, this might be a feel-good law because I don't know how, I don't know if that there's any studies that actually show that these types of warnings actually curb people's behavior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe the warning should have something to do with misinformation. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because if you look back at the cigarette laws where, you know, you the warnings and then the studies just show that people say, yeah, I shouldn't be smoking, and then they pick up the cigarette and smoke anyway. Mm-hmm. But the thing that really gets people is the graphic pictures. And when you have a graphic picture of what smoking might do to your body, those are the things that get people to maybe put down the cigarettes. But yeah. I don't know that this law is really going to change anything, but I think it's just a step in a direction of let's be aware of the health risks of too much phone time.
A step. You're right. Karen Conti back on the radio this Sunday here, 3 until 5. Thank you, Karen. Have a good one.
You too, Bob.